Hello, welcome. My name is Matt Walser, and this is my Leadership Podcast. Just a brief introduction to myself and an intro into my life and why you may want to listen closely for at least the next few minutes. I served in the Marine Corps for 5 years, 2 deployments in Afghanistan in the Upper Gresh Valley. I worked my way up to the rank of sergeant, had many great leaders, and I've led many Marines plus civilian contractors while serving. Now I am the central office manager for a small communications provider, also the lead network engineer. The discipline that I had in the Marine Corps, I've maintained, but I've taken it to a smaller scale, even to the small business level. What I continue to do is just make sure every day I can be a little bit better. So, let's get after it. Today's podcast is going to be all about power and how it relates to leadership. Power. What is power? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, definition of power is ability to act or produce an effect. This is important for many different reasons. You know, everybody has a different view of power and what can be done with power. There have been extremely bad people that had power, that were listened to, that had that ability to produce an effect, to be able to influence, to be able to command, to be able to demand, and be able to get the things that they wanted or needed to even increase that power. I think it's always important to look at the source of the power. And if you're using the right source, whenever you have the power, and what you can be doing with that power. With power in mind, you don't have to be in a leadership role to have power. You can have power and not be put in that position to lead others or garner that respect of other individuals specifically because of a position or a role. If you were to take the word leadership and break it down, ship being position or role, this is actually a fairly modern word, leadership. But if you take the base of the word lead, and the definition of that, according to the Merriam-Webster, is to guide on a way, especially by going in advance, to direct on a course or in a direction, to serve as a channel for, to go through. To combine that word together and get the actual definition of leadership, and it being a position, the capacity to lead, an act or instance of leading, there's so much you can do with leadership. If you combine power used the right way with leadership, you could be a life-changing or a world-changing force. With my background that I've got in combat leadership and being able to command troops while, you know, rounds are going down range, while you're being shot at, while everybody's yelling, and you would think that there's such a high level of stress that leadership just goes out the window and it's every man for himself. But that's not the case. That's especially not the case in combat. You have to have a cool head and be able to lead under pressure. And there's a few very specific things that you have to keep in mind. You know, your team is what is going to not only keep you alive, but it's you're protecting your country. So something that you definitely need to keep in mind is being able to show everyone around you the care, because if you're willing to die for the person to the left and right of you, and they're willing to do it for you, that's showing a love that is biblical, that is something that is God-given on this earth. That's that form of leadership that you're going to have to keep in mind in every situation. It translates well to the business world as well. If there's layoffs, should there even be layoffs? Does your boss really care about you if you're going to get laid off? Think about that in case of your own children. You know, if your children are not doing their chores, you're not going to put them up for adoption. You're not going to disown them. You continue to care. You can continue to love. Another thing to keep in mind is you want to keep things as simple as possible. Whenever you're leading and you're coming up with plans and you've got death by PowerPoint before and after every mission, If you don't keep it simple, there is such chaos that happens after the first shot is fired. If you have a complex plan, if you've got these very diverse ways of doing things, and it's not been practiced and practiced and practiced, whenever the stress and anxiety goes up, that leadership goes down. You're not going to be able to lead such chaos. You have to keep it simple. And then on top of that, you're also going to have to be able to prioritize what your mission is and how to execute it. So while trying to keep it simple, you're going to need to maintain what the mission is, the primary goal is. There may be secondary goals, but there's always a primary goal that you're going to have to continue to fight for every moment of the day. You have to keep that as the right priority and then be able to execute thoughtful planning, and it'll allow us to move resources wherever they're needed. We'll be able to just continue that fight. Again, this transfers perfectly to the civilian sector, to be able to put that into a business mindset. If you can have that proper planning to be able to know what your primary and secondary goals are and be able to execute with those in mind every day, it's perfect. The next thing you're definitely taught in the Marine Corps is small unit leadership, to be able to have multiple teams out there and even have teams within teams. Think platoon, squad, fire team. If your fire team of three or four Marines builds up with three other fire teams into a squad, and you've got four squads in that platoon, you have small unit leadership. You've got individuals on that fire team who are taking responsibility for their team. Then you've got those fire teams that are built up into the squad. You'll have those squad leaders who command fire teams. And then you have the platoon commanders who are commanding platoons. So all of that is great, but what matters is that small unit leadership. If you're empowering individuals all the way at the bottom level, if you've got privates in the Marine Corps who have responsibilities and they have the ability to lead those that are to the left and right of them, and they're willing to give their lives and they're prioritizing their goals, you will have success. In the late 60s, you had a couple social psychologists, John French and Bertram Raven. They did a study and they broke down and put all of power and decided to put it in different categories. You've got five categories: legitimate, reward, expert, referent, and coercive. Let's break down legitimate a little bit first to be able to understand what legitimate power is. Legitimate power, think CEO or president. You have a CEO and they've got power. That manager, he's in charge. He's got the power to be able to hire and fire, be able to say, well, this is the job that we're going to be doing and we're going to do it this way. He's got that power. But at the same time, he can be removed from that position. If it's on a board, he can get voted out. He could be fired from that position. That's legitimate power. Next, let's break down reward power. Reward power is earned. That's one of those things that if you are doing well, you get promoted. Think in the Marine Corps. If you're excellent at your job and you can be excellent at your job, then you're going to get promoted. You're going to get pushed in higher recognition for power. There's also negative reward power. If you are speeding, you get a speeding ticket. Well, there's your negative reward. You're getting a speeding ticket for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's reward power. Next is expert power, expertise. This is something that if you have more experience in, you've got the experience and get the extra power there. If you've got a college degree, well, then that expertise is that's your extra power in there. That's your expert power. Doctors and lawyers, you look at those as the best in their fields. Those get that extra power just specifically because of their expertise, what they're designed to be doing. I'm not a lawyer, so you couldn't really ask me for legal advice because I don't have the expertise in that. I don't have that kind of power. Let's move on to referent power. Referent power comes from one person liking or respecting another. Think celebrities. Celebrities have referent power. You may like a movie that the celebrity is played in, or you think this celebrity is successful, so that's why they like to put them on ads. They know that the consumer will like what they are representing, and that gives them referent power. That's why they are in so many different marketing type ads. Last but not least, we have coercive power. This source of power can be abused. All of the other ones can be abused, but this one seems to be abused more often. This is a one that can be used like threats or threats of punishment or punishment itself. That's coercive power. Whenever you can tell somebody you're doing this or you're fired, that's coercive power. To be able to use coercive power too much, especially in a threatening way, that's bullying. That is an abuse of power, in my opinion. You can't just have that as your go-to. You need to be using this as a last resort. Another thought that needs to be discussed is the relationship between influence and power. We spoke earlier about, you know, leadership is the ability to be able to influence somebody to do something. That is leadership. That's why power works hand in hand with leadership. Influence, that's going to be the same thing. Influence is whenever you can affect another person or use that power to be able to lead one way or another, negative or positively. I spoke about this in the introduction, but in my time in the Marine Corps, especially in the Marine Corps, now I've had leaders throughout in civilian career and the Marine Corps. I've had good leaders and I've had bad leaders. You know, you take the things from the good leaders that you think you should emulate, and you take the things from the bad leaders and say, no, that's not the way I would have done it. And then whenever you're given the opportunity, whenever you're given the power, whenever you're given the influence to be able to command or manage or lead those around you, you can use those things for the future. You know, I've stood on the battlefield with great leaders that have been able to command that influence, to be able to use their power to lead. Whenever you're surrounded by individuals who are willing to give their life for you, there is a level of commitment that it's very hard to find elsewhere. To be able to command a combat scenario, to be able to see the big picture, it's a really big deal. Well, that's my time for today. Thanks for listening to me. I hope that you can use this for your benefit, benefit of your organization, or what have you. I'll talk to you next time.